children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And we are going to have some fun tonight. But before we get into that, let me first mention that the show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com. And also by, let me get this right, alternativecancer.us. I keep wanting to throw .com in there. It's actually .us, okay? So alternativecancer.us, where you can find all kinds of information, free information, about how to deal with cancer estates. Okay, now, today we have Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who I love to call my crazy physicist friend, crazy being that he is so wildly and amazingly and intuitively awesome that that he gets designated that particular title because he's willing to push the envelope. And I think what you're going to hear tonight is really going to give you a hint as to how amazing that can be. So welcome to the show, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. How are you doing?
Well, I'm going bald. Unnatural causes. Sorry about that, Val. I just couldn't resist that one. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to have a wild time as usual.
And with the sprout and everything that's going on. You know, you can look from space and actually see how bad it is with tomography, just the color of the Earth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. I would think, on the West Coast, where we are here in Oregon, this is possibly the worst recorded drought in our history.
Wow.
A couple hundred years.
Yeah, well, it's not a surprise, you know, because we've got... The big guys at the top are messing with weather patterns and poisoning the entire planet in the process. And
what's really happening, too, is that we are actually present to witness a global weather change as it's happening right now. It's like it's so rapid that we're going to be able to see it in the next 2 years and actually see the variations of what it's done. It's happening right now. There's a on my website, there's a blog that, you know, runs it down, you know, that the worst in 800 years, something like that. In recorded history, anyway.
Yeah, and that's, go ahead and give out your blog and
oh, sure. My website is richardallenmiller.com. And if you go to the homepage, there's an ad, which is, you know, one of the reasons I'm talking now is about an event. We're going to do a four-day event down in Reno, Nevada on October 11th and 12th. Will be talks open to the public. And then on the 13th and 14th, Matt Stein and I are going to do some urban survival skills in terms of the impending collapse of the grid. It is going to collapse. What's going to cause it to collapse is your guess. You know, the NASA... on their website, of course, with the coronal mass ejections, are suggesting, and they actually say it, to expect delays in delivery systems. That means your food. And really, what a zombie is East L.A. when they're out of food. That will be craziness.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very, very scary. And, you know, I've been warning people for a long time to be prepared. And... you know, I mean, I have that woo-woo side of me as well as the scientific side. And so one of the things that I know about the quantum physics, and holographic physics, and informational universes is that we can change all this. We just have to get, you know, enough people that are in the right mind to do that. But what I'm saying in the meantime is prepare, you know, understand what's going on. Know that it can be changed, and in the meantime, prepare just in case. You know,
know that preparation part. I mean, you can have a what they call a go bag or a bug out bag. You can have a game plan. That's Mm-hmm. Both of those things are really like important to have in place. And I would say that 90% of your listeners do not yet have a basic plan that if a Katrina or an event, a global event occurred, what would they do? And that's something that everybody needs to start thinking about. We're going to be offering courses and workshops to train around food as the first part of an infrastructure. You know, I think that food should not be part of the monetary system. I think mm-hmm. it should be like a city that has parks. Some cities have very nice parks. Other cities are a little more limited. You could do the same thing with food, where, you know, you chose a given city that you lived in because of the gardens that they supported. And you would probably start your gardens around a 1,000 garden program or something to do with Head Start and Children's Coalition. Because, candidly, I don't think, as Navy intelligence, I don't think that anybody in North America is actually going to be really prepared. Even your so-called doomsday preppers have missed points. The whole idea about this thing is that it isn't about what is about to happen or, you know, how to be prepared for it, that kind of thing. It's time for a lifestyle change, a way mm-hmm. of being. And it doesn't, like, a thing I'm going to talk about tomorrow morning on the nature of God, believe it or not, I'm going to do something with the Republican radio. And I tell you, it's about the idea that the parents would have their children use iPods and yet try to teach them creationism. That was a Bill Nye thing. It's like an incongruity. You can't embrace technology and at the same time reject those parts of it that don't fit with your worldview. You know, it's a time for people to start getting serious. You can believe in creationism or evolution, but it isn't going to, those kinds of belief systems are not going to be very well suited for creating a job. Mm-hmm. And it's time for people to start realizing that if they're going to survive, they're going to have to realize that their belief systems are what are creating and limiting their worldviews in terms of what's possible.
I totally agree. Yeah,
I think the countries that are going to survive any kind of a global event will be those who are not as so dependent on technology. You know, telephones, the internet, the grid, you know, electrical current, just the whole thing. You know, you run your lawnmower off of power grids now. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've spoken to you before about how crazy it is that people don't know the first thing to do with just a little storm that knocks out the power for a couple of days. And
yeah,
you know, I was blessed.
Imagine if you were in New York City and you lived six flights up in a boarding hotel or whatever it is, and you had to go to the bathroom. You don't have any power. Where does the water come from? And how do you flush a toilet? You know, it's going to be more than an inconvenience. There will be people that just from a simple thing like that won't survive.
Yeah, sure. Well, and the thing, too, is that they get into panic mode. And I think really the importance of all these things that we're doing, what you're doing, and you know, I've been writing about this stuff for years, too. But everybody that's doing this, listeners, the reason we're doing it is because if you've ever even heard of this stuff once, then you can survive the initial panic mode.
Well, that's right. You know, to have some sense of a plan in place in your mind.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have a husband and that husband's at the other end of town and a coronal mass ejection, let's say, fries the computer chips in all the vehicles, so there's no vehicle that moves, and that means telephone, so you can find out if your husband's safe or not. What do you plan to do? If the grid were to go down for 2 days, what is your basic plan between you and your husband in terms of who meets whom where? And mm-hmm. detail like that, just having a plan like that in the event of, you know, Fukushima was just, we were very lucky and we're still not over that one. You know, that reactor 4 has still got those exposed plutonium rods and it's leaking. And that means, as of today, the sea next to Fukushima is 258 times the radiation levels it was before that event. And it's not capped. It's going to get worse. And there is no plan in place right now to address or do something with that thing. And then with my partner, Matt Stein, who has written a paper called 400 Chernobyls, what does that bring to mind? 32 nuclear reactors in the America is on the Madras fault lines. There's 32 reactors. And the Madras fault line is like our Pacific Rim right now. It's ringing. And I have to tell you, the whole concept of nuclear energy is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I have always said that ever since I was a kid. And it's like, you know, when you're blessed with common sense and critical thinking, you look at what these people are doing just so they can make money. And you think, first of all, they're insane. And secondly, their greed is really...
Well, that's right. And that's why the more individuals can move away from a monetary system. You know, for example, your garden doesn't have to be growing food. You know, just as easily, you could have a bunch of weeds out there with a big still making your gasoline, or in this case, alcohol. Did you know that I do that with my 280Z, and my labor in terms of, you know, I'm figuring I'm about $10 an hour working on, you know, stuffing this stuff in my still and making alcohol. It costs me about $2 a gallon for alcohol, and I do not need to use money. And because I have a restored 280Z, it doesn't have the zip, but I run it on Redline oil, which means I now am literally off the grid regarding the use of petroleum products.
And that's awesome.
That's just a metaphor for the way people should start to think about themselves and their relationship to their environment.
Yeah,
each
totally.
Environment's different, of course.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful area in Sedona, but you don't have, if you had a hard winter, how would you heat yourself if you didn't have electrical current? You know, right now, that's what made those cliff dwellers. I think when I last visited you in Sedona, we had run into that Indian. Remember, he'd done his doctorate. He was a Navajo, and he did his doctorate on the origins of the Navajo up in the forest in what they call the Second Ring. And he said they were cliff dwellers that one year nearly killed the entire tribe because they couldn't burn the creosote. It was an exceptionally cold winter, and most of the tribe died from exposure. And what happened next is in the early spring, the tribe, what remained of it, moved north into the forest, and that then became the Navajo. It's you have to be aware of what's going on in your environment. And right now, where I live here in Oregon, we're going through severe droughts. It's like 96 today. Everything is bone dry. And from space, I manage a bunker, so I have some tomography with the Navy. And you can look down, and you can just look at the color of the Earth. That is, like, all telling. The color.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
I didn't mean to be doom and gloom either, by the way. What I'm trying to do is prep you to start thinking, everybody, about the possibility that things are going to change in a very quick period right now, and that you should make contingencies on how you're going to do this. What are you going to do if there's another earthquake, a major one? And you have to go underground for a few days while the storm goes by with all the strontium-90 or the cesium-137. I remember when Fukushima went through Grants Pass, it knocked down some trees. There was that big a shockwave. And I remember watching the radioactive cloud heading toward Hawaii. And just before it got to Hawaii, it broke into two sections, the larger of which went off into Alaska and basically didn't harm or affect anybody to any great extent. The smaller portion went down through San Francisco, and right now today, the cesium-137 levels in their milk is 100% above EPA standards.
Wow.
FDA came out a couple of weeks back and said, well, those numbers are arbitrary, and they don't really mean anything. Right. There is, right now, if you go to any pharmacy, a major epidemic on thyroid cancer, especially people that were born between the years of 1950 and 1970, all of which can be directly related to the Utah above-ground experiments that they were doing. And now with Fukushima and a portion of that radiation hitting San Francisco, I wouldn't drink the milk.
No. Well, and the thing is that it's not just in the milk. It's all over everything because the particles, you know, the hot particles and stuff are
floating
on. That's
why we have those mutated dandelions that are all over the place. You know, if you want to look at it that way, goat milk is possibly the most contaminated of dairy products, if you think of things like that, because the goat's range or forage groups is broader than that of a cow. And mm-hmm. that's a proper way to start thinking about the foods you choose to eat. Speaking of which, I did a technical paper last summer in Brisbane for the Navy on mind control. And it was not the past work that I did, but the current forms that are now being used of mind control and where they're going and how to defend yourself from it. Mm-hmm. And most don't realize that the new directions of mind control are not at all about, you know, radiation or using microwave chip implants or drugs, which is the old thing. What they're doing now is they're altering genes in food that will activate certain bacteria in your gut and take over your lower brain. That's one of the reasons why most of America right now is obese. It's the foods we're eating. And sure. If you don't think Monsanto is not a pharmaceutical company. Monsanto was a weapons company for World War II. It's sure. 2,4-D, Paraquat, and Agent Orange. And this project I'm talking about now is the bacteria that they're activating is from a cat that's basically inert. Everybody's got it. If they've stuck their face up next to a cat, you've got that bacteria in your gut. And it's basically inactive until you eat wheat. And that's the problem. Wheat, it's not even about the gluten. It's the wheat itself is not, you know, the food pyramid isn't even about nutrition. And, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just agreeing. Yeah.
Oh, well, the whole thing is I've stopped eating wheat, and I started actually losing weight. I'm counting calories. That's the way to really do it. But wheat, and to some extent, like soybean, transgenic soybean was modified genetically so that it's now the new delivery system for inoculating children.
Oh, lovely.
They no longer need to give you a needle. They can put it in your food. And they can do it on a molecular level where they implant it as a gene splicing in the crop before they grow it. It's crazy.
It's totally crazy. I mean, this is, you know.
Welcome to your new world.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? It's like, this is the way I put it. This is funny in some ways. It is no longer you are what you eat. It is more now you are whom you feed. And if you look at your body as a complex of bacteria and then essentially water transport processes, you know, to move the bacteria around, you are less than 10% of you is human. The rest of it's all bacteria and water processes. And
yeah.
I have to tell you, that's one of the, and of course your gut is your lower brain. It's convoluted, has neurotransmitters, and you do a lot of action from that part of your body. You know, the instincts, the hungers, what is that? Yeah, your urges and desires, they all come from your gut. The higher brain is the one that supposedly kicks in reason or whatever they call that part of it where you just say no, you know, that place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time for America to realize that it isn't about 2012 or impending disasters. It's more about it's time for a lifestyle change.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely,
really
because we've got to be free. And, you know, here's another thing that's been bothering me lately. You know, they're coming up with all these supposedly to make you live forever. And, of course, it's a technological thing. And it reminds me so much of what's written about in the Bible and you know, talked about through the various, you know, ancient society stories that have been passed on about how people will beg for death and there won't be any. And it's all about, you know, keeping a slave race and everything else. And the thing is that, you know, first of all, you have to be more in connection with the non-local mind that a lot of us call God or, you know, creator source or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But basically, when you're in connection with that, you don't have to worry about this stuff so much. I mean, you still have to keep an eye on stuff and, you know, avoid the things that...
That spirituality is, if you've got to have a physical plane to launch from. In other words, in a holographic universe, your physical body is an analog of your emotional, intellectual, and more subtle bodies. And really, in a holographic system, what we're really talking about then is the resolution of information. That would suggest that your emotional body, the one that has feelings and that kind of thing, is actually the physical plane with more detail, the resolution of the hologram. It's the way information folds in of and out of itself rather than space-time. And if you look at the universe like that, you realize that we have a series of different subtle bodies, like the heart. The heart is another organ that has metaphor in terms of love and some of the other things that we've associated to be distinguished differently from the mind, and it having its own brains and different layers of the brains. Mm-hmm. And the heart has emotions that are yes, no, and wow. And once you get a categorization like that, the heart is one of the places where you absolutely know what you're supposed to be doing, and you know what you're not supposed to be doing. And then the next and most wondrous is that astonishment of unexpected. That's what the heart is about. Gives you that sense of, wow, there's something more going on here. That's what we call the non-local mind, where there's the mind is not localized in the brain, but has a number of components that comprise it for a mortal and immortal element. And the stag and the unicorn in the forest go, soul and spirit within matter.
Mm-hmm. That's where the magic is.
Yeah, magic. There you go. That's a good one. Magic is a higher form of physics. It is the mystery of not knowing something and still being able to use it. Like an automobile, most people don't go through the process of examining how an internal engine combustion system works. They simply know that if they put their key in the ignition, they have certain expectations on what can or not happen. And from an anthropological point of view, that's called magic thinking. And a lot of us do that in a lot of areas where we don't really know how something works, iPod, whatever, and yet have a way to have a relationship with it.
Sure.
I think our romance with technology is rather limited, that there are mammals on this planet that are more evolved than we are in those areas of relationships. For example, an elephant, when it paints itself, has an introspection of self which belies a lot more awareness than anything you'd see from a human being in the way they might paint themselves sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
It's and a gorilla has been interviewed and found with limited speech that has a belief system of something beyond itself, just like that, like we do.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the pineal gland and dimethyltryptamine and so on will create God as part of a something that is related to the brain, but there is an omnipresence of something more going on because of that neurotransmitter. And it's that neurotransmitter that determines which level of the hologram you're on. Leary called those neurologic circuits. And he had one for the physical plane, the emotional plane, the intellectual, and actually it's about geometry and like a fractal and the way the information would close down into itself or out on itself. Interesting stuff. And by choosing these models, you can actually do things that you can't do in a quantum mechanical universe. For example, in a holographic universe, it is potentially possible to change the movie by taking a different place of resonance in your brain. That's why many saints have stressed the importance of meditation and training the mind, not allowing it to wander like a little child, where it just goes wherever it wants to, like a candy store, but to have purpose and direction and intentionality. And that part is what we call the soul's code. That's in search of character and calling. The idea of being able to integrate these things so that you take, I don't know, personal control, if you will, or responsibility for your own evolution isn't going to happen unless you do something.
Yeah. And, you know, that brings up some really interesting things in my mind. And, you know, like I do the healing stuff because it's fun.
Yes, yes.
You know, I love doing that stuff. And I got to tell you, I was working on somebody the other night and just waved my hand at him and he fell over. And I'm going, bye-bye. And as he's going, how does that even happen? And I was just laughing. I said, who cares, you know? I mean, it's like it's absolutely ridiculous. And Richard Bartlett
talks
about that.
It probably was a number 8 flat iron skillet, but
no.
You know, I know your ways, baby.
No, that was
you're
the
funny.
Old me.
I know. Oh, look, there goes another rubber tree. Bong.
No, this was I was just doing the, you know, the cell and organ regeneration stuff and the matrix energetics. And like, you know, when Richard Bartlett teaches the matrix energetic stuff, he says, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense because we don't know the rules to this stuff. And he said, who cares? And I agree with him. It's like, look,
well, that's
if you
what
can...
the barefoot doctor was about with the Ne Jing and acupuncture and the idea of taking pulses where you could put, you know, measure the wrist or someplace on the body. You know, what was going on with all these different functions and the way they interfaced with each other. Like that. I'd like to know what a triple warmer is someday, but, you know, I haven't figured that one out, you know, as an
That's
organ
your gut.
Relation.
That has to do with your gut.
What's that?
That has to do with your gut.
I know.
I don't know why they call it a triple warmer, but...
Maybe it heats up bacteria. Who knows what it's doing?
I can tell you that if that goes out, it's serious. And so
I'm not even sure what it is yet. So, man, I don't want mine to go in or out. In fact, yeah, really, it's into the out of. That place of metaphor is where the richness of life lies. That's what I'm trying to suggest, is that everything that you do be done like mythic living, where everything has a mythology to it, and that you're following some play, some grand play. You know, like in the tarot cards, they have 28 big stories in the city. That means there are 28 basic ways that man can, you know, deal with himself. There's stories or you know, myths, mythologies. And so we have these archetypes that come out. And what in psychology, they would suggest that you are either possessed, one God is working through you, or you're complexed, more than one. There's no win on that one. And I have used that concept when I raised my daughter. It was very interesting. I could not, if I saw her as not being real, but really a projection of the younger feminine part of myself having dialogue with my consciousness, I could never actually criticize her for what she did. I probably couldn't have done that. And so I would say to my daughter, wow, you know, that's pretty intense. And but I could never criticize her because she was really, from that metaphor point of view, part of me. Mm-hmm. And because of that, my relationship with my daughter is so wonderful now. I cannot believe it. There's nothing but Dad, the sex is too good. I can't give him up. Ha ha ha. You know, it's wonderful to have that kind of a relationship because of the positioning of the mentat, the way you're approaching what's going on. And I could never criticize my daughter, and so she feels absolutely safe in sharing her values with me, even though we're from different generations and probably could not disagree more, you know, in terms of that construct. But you know what? I'm discovering that values are arbitrary and that the drug that most people like in their brain, the one that goes, oh, you know, that aha, I get it, that place, that's lysergic acid amide, and it turns out that's the chemistry in your brain that connects dots, and that it is arbitrary how the dots are connected. The brain can be seen as a four-dimensional hologram of five space. It's constantly changing. It's got amorphous semiconductors, liquid crystal phases, and electromagnetics. It's constantly changing. That makes it a four-dimensional active hologram, which means it can project into five space. What that would suggest, that's how you change the movie. You take up resonance in a different part of the brain. That's one of the reasons why the study of altered states of consciousness is so critical, that we should not criticize altered states, but realize they were God's gifts for us to be able to do things in that we can't do in a conscious awaking state. One of the things I'm going to be teaching at this workshop in Reno is critical decision-making power tools that you can use in emergency situations. If you're in the middle of a riot and they're going crazy, you can make better decisions on what you choose to do in a fight-flight syndrome with noradrenaline serotonin by going down into an altered state. This was a protocol that I trained the first Navy SEALs with. It then became a protocol used for all when they came to a fork in the road. The SEAL wanted an absolute three sigma error coefficient on it. That means there wasn't a 50% chance like flipping a coin, but there was 99.9975% probable that he made the right decision. And what happened was I went into a laboratory. I discovered there's an altered state that can be easily achieved using hypnosis. And in that place, your ability in guessing is 400 times over where you are right now. Now imagine what that tool could do to you in the wake of Katrina, and you're not sure whether to go right or left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the difference between survival and not.
You did the first workshop for me, what is it, about 3 years ago or four?
Oh, God, that was like, that was 2007, I think, wasn't it?
2007. I had not done that workshop in almost 35 years from when I first trained Navy SEALs. And what I'm going to do is a similar workshop to the one I did with you. I'm going to do that in Reno on the 14th. And instead of calling it ESP, which, you know, is a kind of misnomer, basically, everybody knows what to do. The problem is your reason, logic, and your neurotic belief systems cause you to make terrible errors that you would not have otherwise done if you were a Timberwolf or working directly from spirit. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is teach you how to use these various different altered states of consciousness as power tools to survive.
That's critical, and a lot of people, they lack that. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've taken care of in the ER, and, I mean, they were just stunned. They go immediately into shock. They have no plan. They don't have those critical thinking power tools, and they're lost, and they get hurt, and a lot of them get killed. And
well, that's true, and actually, there's going to be a large attrition because of the grid not being available. That's the real problem. Most people do not have a single clue what they would do if they lost electrical current or petroleum.
Sure. And that it's going to be a shock. And when people are running around, I mean, there's a certain segment of society that's going to run around, start robbing people and looting stores and everything else because they don't know what else to do, really.
That's what we call a zombie. As someone that is mindless and working from the gut, and newsflash, that is how Monsanto is now trying to take control of North America, is the foods that we're eating. And with this terrible drought that we've had and the terrible crop corn failures that we've had this year, Monsanto's loving it because it's going to starve most of the world that depends on our corn. And how did that Dorito commercial go? Don't worry, we'll make more. Well,
yeah, really.
I don't think so. Those kinds of foods are toxic. And really, food should not be part of a monetary system, but a barter. If you want something that you want over something that you need, that's where barter comes in. And you trade what you've got for something that you want. But your food part should be not part of the monetary system. It should be part of what is part of the society that you live in, whether it be an urban neighborhood or a semi-rural community that has an infrastructure around food and water. Those are the two things that need to be shored first. Later, we'll talk about sanitation and other critical elements for surviving off the grid. There's, you know, the third one is, you know, sanitation. You know, once Katrina happened, then it was the sewage and all the other things and the diseases that come into a situation where the sewage and sanitation are not clean. You can name the different kinds of diseases that happen right out of the gate, right out of the top. It isn't some exotic, you know, planetary killer. It's the normal ones like dehydration. And just simple stuff. And once sanitation's taken care of, then you have a bunch of other things you need to address. Your heat and light. And then entertainment, believe it or not. Entertainment is one of the basic needs for everybody. It's primary. Once you've got your stomach full and you've got your campfire going, now what are you going to do? Well, I've got this piece of Tupperware with seven different kinds of rubber bands around it, and I can go place spoons.
Well, you know, humanity used to sit around the campfire and tell stories, you know.
Well, that's the never-ending story. I was walking down the street. Now you've got to put something in. And we just keep building on that until it gets over the edge and see who gets the craziest.
Yeah, so, I mean, but people don't even think about that. That's what gets me, you know. I mean, I look around and, like, okay, I live in Sedona. It's a beautiful area. But all of our food is pretty much trucked in. And
everything is trucked in there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't grow anything in Sedona proper unless you have amended the soil, because we have a lot of iron here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's only certain things that will grow here. And
well, down on the riverbanks where it overflows, you know, where you have river silt and river bottom, that's why there's cliff dwellers were there in the first place. The soils down there are exceptional. And what they did is they had lived up in a cliff so they could protect their harvests. And, what's going to happen with Sedona is I think you'll have a real tough winter. And that creosote does not burn very well.
It's really not that difficult because even if it's really cold. Now see, I'm basing it on, I used to come out here every year and do a kind of a week off the grid by myself. Out in the forest or something in Sedona, and it was frigid. I mean, I had the coyotes coming by every night looking at me, and I scared them.
Yeah, they're pretty limb slim pickings, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and it was...
On your shotguns.
Well, you know, and the thing is that, you know, being intuitive, it was pretty funny because you could feel them sneaking up on you.
Yeah.
And coyotes are really cowards, you know. And so I turn around and look at them, and they'd start yipping in panic, like, how did you know we were here? You know, that type of stuff. And, you know, it's just, that's another thing. People don't realize that if you go outside of the house, if there's some big disaster and you have no shelter, you're going to have to deal with wild animals that are hungry. And they're going to take...
Oh, yeah, you get in the food chain thing. That's, that's
so there,
a normal thing.
You know, it's stuff.
Grizzlies are the thing I worry about most, not the big cats. You have cats and things, and I'm not worried about them. Does your area have grizzly bear or just black bear?
Brown
bear. Do they have grizzly bear, or is it mostly not?
No, not here. It's not.
Yeah,
it's
you not have here. Timber wolves, though, don't you?
Well, in some places. Not in Sedona. In Sedona, we mostly have bobcats and coyotes and javelinas.
Yeah, bobcats.
If you go up in the mountains, there's also Coda Mundi. I've seen a couple of those crossing the road. There are bears here. They don't normally bother people. But
yeah, they're not very big. They're not like grizzly bear that actually have a bigger brain case than man and out hunting man because he's tasty.
Yeah.
I got hunted by a grizzly bear. I have a lot of respect for them. I'll tell you, it's their environment, and they're actually smarter than you are. And at that, those two combinations are very scary with that realization.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of weapons that you can carry easily with you as well to protect yourself from a bear. You know, I think my father used to use a 400 Thompson with a long 22 long rifle down in the ball, you know, so that it would tear the bear apart. But truthfully, you couldn't carry a pack pistol big enough to stop a grizzly bear. And the only thing that we ever used, by the way, was bullwhips. We used to, because if you had a 9-foot Australian bullwhip and you pop that in front of its face, what happens next is the grizzly bear will stand up and take a closer look at you and cannot figure out how you can reach 9 feet, and it spooks them. Oh, no, that's it's a Mentat thing. And it, when they can't get it, what they'll do is they'll walk away. And a grizzly bear will never walk away, ever. And that's usually one of the ways that you can get a grizzly bear to change its mind.
Wow.
Because it spooks them. They can't figure out how you can reach that far. And I'll tell you, I don't know of any other kind of weapon that is safe out in the country if you're in grizzly country. Up in Canada, you can be hunted by something like that, and it could be really serious. I think they even made a movie on that once. I forget what it was called. I forget who played in it. But it was an exceptional movie where a grizzly bear was actually hunting people, killed one of them.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they got to eat, too. And, see, this is the thing that, listeners, the reason I asked Rick to come on again tonight, and we'll have him on again October 4th, before the online class starts, and you might want to get in on the online class, and that's with, that's noweti.org, right?
Yeah, it's .com. It's NWETI.com, or Northwest Educational Training Institute, and it's out of Roseburg. And we use Skype, and what basically is working is that it's a forum where I can teach like I did when I was teaching at AOL back in the 90s, early 90s. You know, I was teaching with Interactive Educational System out of Humboldt when AOL was still called PC Link.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
The old days, in 1989, when it was all about bulletin boards and nobody had a computer, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And the thing is, the reason that I wanted you to come on and talk about the survival stuff too, it's not only because of your class that you and Matt are doing, and that I will get into at some point, but also because with the online stuff, I believe very much that you have to do the multi-pronged approach. You got to be prepared physically, and
well,
so
you've got to take care of that. Of layers of preparation,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, emotional. You have the layers. You got to be prepared physically. You got to have the stuff. You got to have your go bag. You need all that
stuff.
You got
to have your emotional thing ready. I mean, to lose your internet, watch what happens next when you plead with God to bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, God, I promise I'll be good if you'll just.
So I mean, you really have to have all that stuff lined up, and then you have to have. You know, the mental preparation, and when you're teaching the critical survival power tools, that's really, really important, because that way, for those people who are caught out there without their go bag, maybe they're out hiking for an afternoon and the whole grid goes down. You get back to your car at the trailhead, you got nothing. Maybe you got a pack, in the car, but that's as far as you're going. You're not going to be driving 40 miles back home.
Yeah. How do you walk home from that? Follow the railroad tracks. They're probably going to be a lot safer than the roads would be. It's, ground rules. There's basics. When we were in survival, I was like a MacGyver. And so, how to make things out of nothing. There's a movie called, what is it called? After Armageddon. It's on my website. It's on a bunch of, I can get it off of Netflix. It's called After Armageddon. It's a two-hour documentary. They interview a bunch of scientists across the country on what would be the first hour like, what would be the first day, what would be the first week like, and who dies in the first year. It's an interesting a summation of probably how it's going to go. This, you know, small family makes it through the first year, and then he dies of sepsis. You know, something simple.
Yeah.
It's an interesting proposition, and I guess what I want to leave with everybody is the importance of beginning a process toward changing your lifestyle. One little step at a time. It doesn't have to be all together at one time. It's just one step at a time. Start with water. You know, start focusing on the kinds of water that you're drinking and the importance of what structured waters mean. Do you know that Mars actually has more water than Earth does?
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah. It's 6 inches under the ground. The entire planet is surrounding on it, and it's a new form of water. Oh. At 100 degrees below zero, it's a slushy ice that is the entire planet, and if you put a ball in space of all the water, it's bigger than the ball from Earth. And it's where the, you know, the Endeavour went down, that, what is it, the, forget what the module was called that went to Mars. It has discovered that the water is 6 inches below the surface, and it is in big pools everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, Mars. It's, that is a get-out-of-jail card.
Interesting.
You know, things like plutonium. If plutonium gets loose, there will be nothing that lives on Earth.
Right. Yeah, and that's for, what, 600,000 years or something?
I met this John Hutchinson and his Hutchinson effect.
Came
over the other day. He is, what he's doing is he's grabbing these old warships that are scrapping, and he's pulling out their radar installations, and he's using a scalar wave form off that radar guides that creates what we believe to be short-end microwave as a subsonic or a subset on the scalar form. And what it does is it knocks down radioactive isotopes in the outer orbitals and makes them decay quicker.
Oh, cool.
And so there's some lot of interest on the possibility of having a device that will, you know, it would be probably what we controlled fission, which we don't do. We have fission, but we don't have controlled fission. And to have a controlled fission, this guy has a thing called the Hutchinson effect, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if it's real. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful to have something that could neutralize plutonium. Strontium-90 and cesium-137 are one thing, but plutonium, that's a planetary killer. And I'm going to guess in the next 3 or 4 days, there's going to be a preemptive strike on Iran by...
Israel.
What is it?
Yeah.
Israel. Yeah. They're going to stop that nonsense right now, probably. Be during Yom Kippur, I'm guessing. Imagine that.
Man, you know, I just get so weary of the insanity of these people at the top. I'm just so tired of it, you know? And I know a lot of other people out there are feeling the same way.
Well, yeah, listen, 0.1% controls 99% of the world. The more you live off the grid, the more you are no longer part of their radar. And let me tell you, just start with gardening and your little fist in the air, and everything that you do should be oriented toward moving toward a type of sovereignty where you don't need the grid, you do not need the monetary system. You know, you don't have to be growing crops for money. You could be growing it for fuel. You could be growing it for a lot of things.
Sure. I've been preaching that to people for a long time, too, and I keep telling people, look outside the box. You know, all these people are unemployed, and, you know, they're all stressed out, and they're letting it kill them because they're unemployed. And when they talk to me about it, I tell them, what would be your out-of-the-box solution? And they're like, huh? And I tell them, look outside the box. How can you survive without money?
And, well, you can eat your environment. That's what Gurdjieff said. And that's what I'm going to suggest, is that there's food all around you. You just simply need to identify what it is. Once you've done that, it may not be the food you want to eat. You know, I'd prefer to have a margarita. Ha, ha, ha. And so I'll trade, you know, my agave cactus, which I've got lots of, let's say, or tequila or whatever. That's how it's going to work, ultimately. I think that everybody's got natural resources. They will identify what they are and live off of those and barter for what they want.
Sure. That's the way it's got to be, and I'm 100% behind that. And listeners, if you want to learn how to do this kind of stuff, I suggest that you get yourself to one of the workshops that Rick and Matt are giving. And now, what's the date on the one in Reno? Isn't it the 11th and 12th?
Reno is Thursday and Friday night, the 11th and 12th. Will be open to the public, free talks. I'm going to do one on mind control. And then on Saturday, we'll do urban skills or survival skills for grid collapse. You know, what to do, one, first, second, and third things to do. And then the second day would be critical decision-making power tools. And you're in the middle of something and you don't know what to do and you don't have your internet for information, where do you go next? You go internal, because you actually know what to do. You just don't know how to talk to yourself, and that's what we'll teach you in this Sunday workshop, will be how to get better information from your subconscious. Your subconscious already knows what to do. How do you get that to consciousness and get an agreement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an important thing. I'll tell you what, my ability to do that has saved my life more times than I can even remember. And, you know, it's even simple things like, you know, gee, should I take the shortcut through the dark forest that feels creepy right now?
Little Red Riding Hood and the big bad wolf.
Yeah, and so, you know, your intuition will tell you, you know, that's not a good idea.
I know you, Val. You would just love to go compete in the woods like that.
I've had quite a few encounters in the woods and surprised quite a few different types of beings. And they weren't ready for me, that's for sure.
Nobody has ever been ready for you, Valerie. You are a true Laura Croft.
Oh, you are too funny.
Nice talking to you too, kiddo.
Yeah. Listeners, I don't do any swinging from the rafters or anything like that anymore.
Oh, no, but you know how to use those shotguns.
Shotguns, 45s, 22s.
Yeah, there you go.
50s, 357s.
Little armory.
AK-47s, AR-15s, AUGs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. But I digress, you know. Anyway, it's been great having you on the show again. And one thing that I really hope, listeners, that you will do is please go check out the online class that Rick's going to be teaching. It's 8 weeks long. And just go to nweti.com and check that out. And if you have further questions, you know, you can email me or, you know, contact Rick via the website. Whatever, but this is really going to help you, and it's really an easy way to develop your intuition and to make those pathways. What you need to do basically is burn new neural pathways. They're going to be survival pathways for you.
Got a solder gun just for you with your name on it.
Yeah, that's where we get into
the
magic. That's the magic
nice
stuff.
Nice talking to you, Valerie.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure, as always, and and good luck with the stuff, and if it wasn't for my mother's 94th birthday.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry I won't be able to see you this time, but I'll figure a way out. Trust me.
Yeah,
I'll either bring
time.
You in for the Brit concert or something.
Yeah, I'd love to, so we'll see what's going on with all that, but meanwhile, I got to go do the family thing.
Take care, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And listeners, we have been talking with Dr. Richard Allen Miller, and those of you who are familiar with my show know that Rick is a really good friend, and ever since I first interviewed him years ago, and he is just brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and he's got some amazing information to impart to you. And he cares, you know. He doesn't have to do this. He could sit back and rest on his laurels. You know, he's written over 300 books on, you know, how to grow certain plants and things, and books on magic and physics and, you know, mind control, all this kind of stuff. He's a very prolific writer. And so he doesn't really need to go out and do all this stuff. He's doing it because he cares. And he really hopes that whoever hears this will take heart and realize there is hope. So don't give up hope. And, you know, there are things you can do to prepare yourself and your friends and family. And, you know, we can get through this because we're at an exciting time in our evolution. Very exciting. So be prepared. Okay? So as always, until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.
Time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do